Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, today is Wednesday, and we are talking about portals, Neil, and how they suck you in.
Makes us a sucker.
Well, they do have, I guess, somewhat of a magnetic force. But anyway, want to let everybody know what the call-in number is. 914-338-0164 is the number to call. Please call us. We'd love to hear from you today. And do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. You may also follow us here on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook and on Twitter. And those accounts may be found under our Blog Talk Radio homepage, on our Blog Talk Radio homepage, that is, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And, okay, let's get started. We rarely have time lately for a conversation, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the past week if those conversations were ever completed.
Well, I don't think we even started the last couple. I don't know.
Do you remember the topic was?
I will, but not offhand. I don't want to waste time doing that.
The phrase that sucking in of portals has a lot to do with, one, the dream world, two, astral projecting, and three, deliberate entry, meaning people who work with the Ouija boards or induce the entry by hallucinatory drugs or something like that. So there's different ways to be sucked into a portal. The most involuntary way would
this
be...
This is not portholes.
Or potholes. there's a portals.
Portal.
P-O-R-T-A-L. Port is from transportation. And so this is an entry, a portal of transportation, an entryway. In the psychic element, it's, of course, a portal is not something that is a physical term. It's a metaphysical term. It's a supernatural term, meaning that in the astral realm, there are channels or chambers or passageways where an individual can move through that and enter into another realm.
Right, and so it's going to be easier for some people to enter into a portal in their dream state than it is in a waking state.
Well, it's easy. Unless, you don't even need to. You can.
There's no exercise that you need to do.
You
enter.
Can.
Right, but in the dream state, which I'm saying.
In the dream state,
you just go in.
What happens in the dream state is that the spirit, the astral body, leaves the body at night. This is natural for the astral body to leave the body at night. We can have just in-house dreams, meaning they're just psychological dreams. They're a composition of our brain creating images along a narrative line, and which proves that our brains are active at night, and they create storylines. It's kind of amazing the way the study of dreams and how in our sleeping state do we create these narratives, and we pull in things that are familiar to us, things that are active in our life, and then somehow we start to mix them in with symbolisms and things that don't make any sense, and our brains basically go on these rampant trips through time and space, and they're all psychological. Those, a lot of those are psychological brains. But it's
psychological dreams.
Dreams.
But when you're in an astral dream, it's not so much the mind that's creating the trip. It's actually you're on a trip.
You're actually, no.
Really,
in that case,
space.
There's a liftoff. You're actually, the astral body has actually left the body, and by way of the silver cord has gone through, it's just not lingering above the body. It's gone through a portal. It's gone through a corridor, and that has taken the astral body into a dimension where one can experience past lives, angels, guides, spirits, all kinds of things.
And sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between what's a psychological dream or what's an astral dream if you're not experienced, and you have to mistake one for the other, and you have to have someone who's experienced and knowledgeable about dream analysis help to decipher
there are tricks to the analysis, but some basic rules of thumb would be that you're moving, you're flying, you're traveling fast in a car or a plane, something along that line. Now you can have a psychological dream
and be in a car
composed of those things too. You're running or whatever, but there is a subtle interpretation field where a trained interpreter can designate between a psychological dream and an astral dream. There's a certain subtlety there, but it's still in form, very deliberate. And if you go into the astral realm, if the astral body goes into the astral realm, it can be sucked into a portal. We use that verb, sucked in, because there is a energy from a past life still composed of activity. And the astral body that is in the physical body is eager to resolve that issue, or is forced to revisit it over and over again until the physical body dismantles it, disintegrates it. And so what the astral body does is it's pulled out of the physical realm. It's pulled even out of the vicinity of the physical body, and it's sucked into a portal. And then immediately the astral body is transported to a past life where there was trouble or something like that. Something was resolved. Now there may be characters that are reenacting the stage setting, or the astral body deliberately goes right into the space that is occurring and is transported into the past, and everything is active and alive. Other times it's just the reenactment. I believe that Charles Dickens had something going when he did A Christmas Carol.
Oh, the past life, that Christmas past and future and all that.
Because he was there, and there's even a line, can they see us? Scrooge asks the spirit, and the spirit says, no, these are but figments. These are but musings of the past. They can't see us. This is just a reenactment. But oftentimes there is a element where the astral body actually goes into the past and reenacts, kind of like the time machine, the traveler in the time machine, where he interacts with everything in the environment, whether it's in the past or the present or the future, the near present. And there's no way to determine that. It's all about turning on the TV and you're either watching something that's an old movie, or you're watching something live and you can call in and talk to the person. It's sort of like, there's your analogy, sort of like. But the TV box represents the astral realm itself. The content would be either live or something that's a rerun or a repeat or a showing of something that's old, a TV series you can interact with. So in that regard, we can get sucked in. And if you're troubled, if you have a troubled life, there's a more obvious reason why you might get sucked into a portal, because the troubles you're experiencing come from the root of a past life, And in that regard, there sometimes is a feeling of helplessness.
You mean talking, you're in a dream, getting sucked in.
Yeah, yeah. And there's an attitude of helplessness. So if you're having a dream where you feel helpless, you might say, well, that's how I feel in my waking life. And the dream was very similar to the situation that I'm working on. And that might just be a psychological dream then. But oftentimes we have dreams where we're struggling to get back in the body from the dream. We're struggling with forces in the dream that we don't quite recognize. The person will wake up and say, God, I had a dream I was being chased by this mass, this black thing. I couldn't figure out what it was. Those are now in a dream like that, when you get sucked in, you can enter a portal where there are darker, ominous type spirits, lower energy spirits. The confusing part about that is that at any given portal, there can be darker entities that can actually see the astral body leaving a sleeping body and pull it in. It's like a spider. Like a trapdoor spider pulling it in.
So there are going to be certain things that are going to make a person more vulnerable to being pulled into a portal in their sleeping state, obviously.
Yeah. And if you're familiar with trapdoor spiders, they build their nests underground. They put a little covering over their burrow, and then they wait for a approaching insect, and they jump out, grab it, and crawl backwards into their little burrow, their little den, and the trapdoor goes down. It's a trap called a trapdoor spider. Well, why would an entity want to suck us into the astral realm? One, some of them just love the energy feed because it's the astral body. They're not so much concerned with physical body. They can't do unless they're teasers or tormentors of some kind. But the astral body can feed on. They feed on the energy. The energy is derived from the physical state. So the astral body that's different from the entities that are in the astral world, the only difference is that this astral body is connected to a living form, a living human being. And some of these lower astral inhabitants want to feed on that. Because maybe they were once humans. They had a body. And they're caught in this void. So they await at portals, waiting for a victim. Kind of like, in an old-fashioned term, like a pimp waiting at the bus stop or the train stop for young girls coming off the train. They wait.
You're sick.
Yeah. one of my past lives. So.
Please.
I was joined with Captain Kangaroo when we were capturing.
You were the little girl and I was the pimp.
Yeah. Now, I mean, maybe that's an example, but I'm trying to illustrate how dark these things are. We think of dark entities in our world, our living world. Well, there are seemingly in discussion, there is a comparison to these dark entities in the astral world. They are just out to feed on, exploit, and literally consume the content of the energy that an astral body may be holding. In those dreams, the sleeping person can feel like they're being attacked, fed upon. It's a frenzy of turmoil. If the sleeping body can't really identify what the entity is, they may symbolize it as a shark or a bear or something like this. And then the drama takes place. But this is the dark side of the portals. There's obviously an entertaining and light side, and even encouraging and spiritual sides to a portal.
Right, and we haven't even gotten to we're in the dream state and what can happen with portals. But, you know, the waking state is a whole other topic. Okay, so let's bring on this caller. This is Amy. Hi, Amy. Am I right? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Did I go? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not very well.
I saw. Well, I'm in the car.
Oh, that's okay. We got you higher. Volume worked.
Yeah, I saw your post, and I was like, "Oh, they're live!" So I was like, "I want to call."
Okay,
so
hi.
It's funny how that works.
39.
So anyway, yeah, I guess I don't know what questions I have. Maybe it'll come up as I'm talking. Everything seems to be going great. Just as Neil said, like, go for the license, get the acupuncture license, and now I'm teaching. I'm teaching foundations at the school I went to, which is the exam that I struggled with.
Oh, well, that's an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. But of course, because I really dove into it and got, I have tons of confidence now. They asked me to teach foundations, and I was like, yes. Like, I didn't even have a hesitation.
Wow. And you, how many did you have to take that exam before you passed? Like three?
I took four.
But
yeah, the first
times
one I passed.
The fourth time you passed, yeah, three. Okay, so.
I took three and.
Okay, so you're teaching.
I'm teaching at the school, and I'm assistant supervising in the student clinic. So, like, I feel tired, but I feel fulfilled. So this, it feels really good to me. It doesn't make tons of money yet, but I guess I feel like that's possible if I want to do it right now, but I feel like that's, you know, on the horizon, nearer than further, for when I want it, as far as if I want to pursue, you know, whatever, fortune building or something. But I think I also have a hesitation to do that while my children are under 18. Because my ex seems to be really aggressive with wanting equalization of income. And I don't know. I don't want to limit. So I don't know. I guess maybe a question is, am I limiting the finances I could have by thinking that or anything else?
You mean you're saying that you're afraid to work too much because you're worried about what impact it's going to have on your arrangement with your ex.
Right. I feel like even now there's a good question. My child, my youngest son, is just so angry with me, or acts out as if they're really angry with me, probably like blaming me for the divorce. I mean, like, so much that their personality changes when anybody leaves the room and we're alone together, like everything will be fine. And then my boyfriend will leave the room or leave the home, and the kid will be like, stop talking, like really mean, like verbally abusive. And I'm like, okay, that's inappropriate. And I'll just stop because I don't want to engage in that energy. I don't even know what to do. And I don't know what's behind it. I did have an energy worker or a medical intuitive that I met through a student, actually, that did a clearing and said that they cleared hundreds of hexes and curses and negative intentions that my ex was projecting, and didn't really add a lot of importance to that, but just was like, you know, yeah, that happens. Your strength is strong enough that it didn't overtake your life, but if you were a lot weaker. And then I recalled, just as he was talking, I was like, all those car accidents. I mean, I had like four car accidents, and three of which could have killed me. And I'm still here. So interesting, I feel like, energy. And, you know, I don't know. Do hexes and curses exist? If
curses
exist.
And we've talked about this before, Amy. I remember you asking about whether your ex was intentionally putting curses on you or putting out negative energy, and what you had said to us is he really doesn't put stock in anything that's alternative. He's not into, you know, alternative spirituality or mystical thinking. So the likelihood of Yeah, I personally, I don't get a vibe that he's putting out hexes and curses on you intentionally. I just really don't. And I don't think, I remember Neil not really putting much stock into it either. Yes, it's true that someone, even if they're not of that nature, can put out negative energy towards you and things can happen.
Right.
But you also have a difficult karma, as we know. You've got that, 1-2-2 energy and the 29 in your day. You had problems in your childhood.
Yes.
So.
And a lot of those memories are coming back without a charge. So I'm really happy.
So you're,
that means I'm on the right side of my traumas or my karma. Like, I'll have memories of childhood stuff that's like, that isn't very functional, but it's not like, it doesn't traumatize me and shut me down. It goes, okay, that makes sense now. And then I move on.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, I don't know if you can pin the accidents on your ex necessarily. That could be a karmic situation that came up for you that's independent of your ex. So
I missed
anyway.
An accident the other day. There was a semi that rolled over. It hit a tow truck. Like, three people were injured. Luckily only three, but it was this huge accident right on my way to work. It happened to be about a half hour late, running about a half hour late. And as I was coming towards it, I probably would have gotten hit. I mean, I would have been right there at that exact time. And my daughter goes, hey, can you pick me up from the bus station? I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to be at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Go ahead, Amy.
No, I don't know. I guess I get excited about those kinds of things. When,
well, that's
not that
good,
people
that
get hurt, but that I avoided it.
Yeah, that you avoided it. That's really important. What were you
going to
say?
Well, Amy, listen closely. Your husband's not doing any hexes, and anyone who tells you have exes and curses around you and they got to release 100 or so, it's bullshit. Pure bullshit.
Okay.
So don't feed into that nonsense. And just trust me on that. What you're dealing with is a certain degree of karma. Now, you have a 29 in your day, which has a negative connotation. It's in your karma. Your month, 1-2, becomes a 3, combined with your last number, 9, in your year is 39, which is part of your karmic element. Your 69 in your year has a 3 in between it, which means that there's a 39 essentially in the 69 aspect. You have your 39-12-3. When you were 12 years past the age of 39, which will be 51, you're coming up to 50 now, you're going to be removing, all of this is going to suck, fading more and more and more. And once you're 51, you won't be experiencing these things. You see, you're compounded, so you have all this karma, and if it was a different combination of numbers, would have been dead already, but you're supposed to move forward and get through the karma.
No.
You have a 9.
Nines, 2 9s.
You have 2 9s that anchor your ability
to endure.
So everything that you're doing is part and parcel to your evolving character on this earth plane. As far as your son is concerned, that's a karmic situation.
What's his birthday, Amy?
Okay. 8504.
Okay.
And
13,
don't say 04, 14,
15,
say
2004. 16, 17, 18,
19. Oh, okay. 8-5-2004.
Well, see, and there's a problem too because he's also compounded. He's a 19-10-1. Is that what you got, Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be challenging.
The problem, Amy, with your son having this drastic change in attitude when you're alone with him. There might be some parts of this that has to do with the current divorce, but this is usually established because of a bond that wasn't there in growing up. Something was missing.
Oh, okay. With me or with?
Yeah, with
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, when he was 7 years old, I was abruptly kicked out of my home and called a child abuser, and I didn't see my kids for 2 weeks.
Yeah. See, he's harboring, I'm telling you, Amy, the reason he is the way he is and he goes dark on you is because there's a history level where there was no bonding and there was resentment and there was a course of interaction that was lacking warmth and comfort, well-being.
Mm.
He's holding that. So when he's around you, and especially when you're alone, those clouds come back and he's virtually in that mindset and he's not connecting.
That's so sad. No, yeah. The thing is, like, we were very close. So can it be, you know, the temporary separation and just that the dark?
When
I remember seeing the child after 2 weeks after not being allowed to see the child and not really understanding my rights and not, like, accessing resources to exercise those rights. You know, like, I just was in a shock situation and had to kind of get my footing. And when I finally saw my child, the bags under his eyes were so deep and dark and huge. And I, you know,
I realized
the damage had been done.
So you feel like was there a change in his behavior after that 2 week separation?
He was super happy to see me. Like, you know, it was like held onto my neck, and 7 years old was just like, you know, very happy to see me, very loving, very just kind of held my face and patted my face and it was dysfunctional. My mom and my ex, I don't know what they had talked about, but I was only like allowed to see my child on his birthday for 2 hours. And then I had to call a lawyer and negotiate more because I really didn't want to get arrested. I'd just been accused of child abuse and domestic violence. And I was, you know, I had slept my husband. So now I realize it's okay to admit that. But at the time I was just like, what the hell? Why would I be charged with felony domestic violence because I slapped you because you're an asshole? Like, that is not equivalent to the situation that occurred.
Yeah, but where does this attitude of child abuse come from on any legitimate level?
I think he must have been abused. I really do, because the more and more and more I see how he handles parenting.
You mean
parenting.
The husband? Your husband,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but where
and
does
I also,
child abuse come in with your
what?
Children? How did you get accused of abusing your children? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
He brought that in when the situation happened with him and I, and it was, now looking back, I know it was gaslighting, and I just, on a reflex, I turned around and slapped him. He told me, shut the fuck up, the child's more important than you, and was standing between me and the child who was crying for me, like super traumatic for all of us. And I just turned around and slapped him and pushed him out of the way and got the kid.
Your child
and then I was accused of, what?
Your child is 15 now, right?
Yes, just turned 15.
And has he had any therapy?
Yep, he is in therapy. But I was pushing for weekly therapy, and Dad pushed it to monthly, and the therapist got the child to agree to every other week. And I don't even know if they talk. You know, I'm not allowed into the file at all. I'm like, Dad has access to the file. I don't.
Does he have primary physical custody?
No. Dad
Why
does.
Does
and
so that's what I'm asking. So the father does, right? The father
Dad
has primary.
Dad does, but that's not the reason why. The reason why is that when they're 14, they have to write out a physical. They have to actually write out a release of information for parents to access their private. It's, you know, the HIPAA law. So
but
once
he has
14, the counselors.
The file. He has more
he
access
has
to the file.
Just
than
a,
you.
Yeah, well, because he pays the bill and he has the insurance, so he has that up that access. But he doesn't have access. He tries to get access to what they talk about, and he actually tries to dictate what they talk about.
Oh wow!
But
and why was he awarded? Why was he awarded custody? Because of the financial aspect of his. I mean, usually
because he threatened me that I would never see kids again if I didn't agree to his arrangement, and he was accusing me of felony domestic violence and battery, and also had child abuse hanging in the, you know, he was threatening me with these charges, and I was devastated. I didn't want to be, and then the DA's office, the DA's office threatened to charge me with child abuse, with an additional count of child abuse for putting my child on the stand if I pled not guilty. No lie.
How much do you get to see your children? What's your custody range?
My child's with me right now. It's staying with me. And it's like, it's a little bit less than 50-50, but it's not that much less. I mean, it's like, 60-40
For the child's sake, you see, he's 15 now. His birth date is 8-5. That's 13 plus the remaining two is 15. He's at a very crucial time right now. So my questions would be, how is he doing in school? Does he lock himself up in his room a lot?
Yep, locks himself up in his room a lot.
What about school?
And then if I knock on the door, it's like, you're invading, get out of here.
Is he? What's the school performance? Is he getting good grades or is he getting...
Good,
A's
and B's. Is honor roll, not high honors anymore, but honor roll, and is in advanced classes where they want to be.
Does he have a lot of friends? Does he have a girlfriend? What's his situation?
A handful of friends, and they do game night weekly or biweekly. So actually does some in-person activities, which I'm happy about, because for a while there was nothing. It was all online gaming.
Okay,
which is scary because
does he go on the internet?
Yep.
Well,
and do you monitor
when
what he wants?
I don't. And when I have tried to, my ex-husband basically, I got scared off from it when I said we need to monitor what our kids are doing.
How can he control what you're monitoring in your home? I mean, your kids are with you.
He built the computer that the kid's on. He's the one that built the computer. He's an IT director. He claims that he has an eye on it.
Well, I
guess the more and more, the further I get away from the situation, I'm like, oh, he has an eye on it. He may be part of whatever the continuing problem is.
Yeah,
here you go. I have a question on this. I caught somebody online. I was on a thread. I felt I was being supportive to a question somebody asked. And the question was, if a woman has a baby, knows who the father is, but never informs him, is that even legal? And what do you think of that? And I responded to that, like, first of all, you'd have to ask her reasonings. Secondly, it may not be legal, but it happens. And third, it wouldn't be something you can necessarily prosecute or consider a legal problem. And some of the reasons might be, you know, she may have a history of being raised with two parents, and that was a problem. So she thought it would be a little easier on the child to just be raised with one. And I got these attacks. People attacked me and said, you're a child abuser. So, and it was very specific, and I felt like it was him. Because I heard his voice when I read the comments. I was like,
well, what's the likelihood of him having, multiple profiles where he's attacking you?
He's a gamer and he has multiple profiles. He always has.
What site was this on? Where were you commenting?
Facebook.
Facebook, like
it was
what?
On Facebook.
A specific.
It was
like
a mutual friend that is a mutual friend of his. We all work together, but I have him blocked on his I have him blocked on his personal account. But this was an account.
That may be likely.
Of course, it's likely.
Probably commenting on mutual friends' pages on controversial topics is not the best idea, considering he may be, hiding under different identities, fake identities.
Sure, I see that now, but it's a little bit psycho to be veiling your attacks on your ex-wife online on these things. Like,
I just think that him. I mean, I hear that you're.
I can't have a voice. he's trying to silence me is the thing.
Right. I feel like and we have another caller we've got to get to, 201. We're going to get to you in just a moment. But I feel that you're submitting to him because of your fear. And that's unfortunate, because what's happening with your kid is that you're not able to monitor his online activity, which I think is very important to do. And you're having these problems coming to, a mutual understanding and an agreement on how to parent your child. And
oh, no, I can't at all. Anything I propose,
fear,
he tells the kid.
Yeah, that's not a good situation. I mean, there's got to be a
better
way.
But I don't.
The only audience you might be able to have at this point effectively is with the therapist, and try to engage in a joint therapy session with your son, because that's going
or
to start to open up a little bit of communication, so you can figure out what's going on, because I think there's a big messy situation going on. Your career Your career is going fine. That's a good prediction. It's going in alignment with what we've said. So I'm not immediately concerned with that as much as I am with your child.
Real quick, just the reason you don't want to make more money, you don't pay him, do you? Or would you get less?
No, I don't pay him, but he has, he's been saying to all three of my children that he's struggling with finances when he makes like $150,000 a year. And I've made under $50,000 every year, and last year was like $17,000 or something crazy.
So short
so
answer,
I think
does
he's
he
gonna,
give you child support, and is that what you're afraid of losing?
He does not pay me anything. I think he's going to try to go for child support because he has the kid a couple percentages more than I have the kid. And I think he's trying to alienate the kid from me so that the kid says, I don't want to go to mom's, and then he'll go straight to court.
Well, I wouldn't hold yourself back in your career because you're afraid of afraid of moving forward because he's trying to get something from you. He makes money, and I really don't think that if they did a thorough investigation of his finances, that he's going to be able to really effectively conceal what he makes. They're going to find out. So
he did last time.
Well,
I mean, he had an online dating profile where it said he made $150,000, and he admitted to the courts he made $60,000, and I think his boss helped him hide money.
Well, it's a complicated situation. You have more problems there. It's a continuing story.
We've got
call
it. We've got
back
three.
And we can move
people
forward, but we've got to get to our other callers.
Okay.
Okay, Amy. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay, so we do have to get everybody. Callers, so we're going to try to keep these fairly short. 201, then 540, then 949. Okay, 201, this is Jackie. Hi. 1565. Hi.
Hi, I was just listening.
Oh,
but,
you're just listening?
Yes, I took a break. I'm out of Jersey, and I'm just trying to recharge and regroup.
Okay, do you want to just listen? Because we are short on time,
yes.
So if you okay, I'll put you on mute.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Okay, 540. That will help us with the time factor. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I just got onto the show here, so I'm not really knowing what you guys are discussing, but I seen some of the tags on there and. You do psychic and spiritual connections?
Yes.
Well, my mother passed away 4 years ago, and I'm curious if maybe she's wanting to come through to talk to me.
What's your name?
My name is Edward.
Edward, where are you calling from, Edward?
Roanoke, Virginia.
And what's your birth date, Edward?
September 13th, 1976.
Well, we're sorry to hear about your mother 4 years ago, huh? I we're not sure if we can connect on the line. I'm not real sure. When we're doing readings on the radio, sometimes we get lucky and we make a connection. And go ahead.
Well, basically, I had a son pass away 15 years ago as well, and I've always been curious to know if she's with him.
Oh. Well.
What's your son's birthday? Do you have these birth dates handy?
May 1st of 2004.
Is your son?
Yes.
Okay.
And what was your mother's birth date?
July 23rd, 1946.
Okay.
When did she said 4 years ago?
32, 5.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Well, first of all, Edward, we go out to you in compassion that you've had these
losses.
Tragic events. I mean, a son dying, a mother going probably sooner than her time, and you're obviously devastated by this. And I'm not, for a son, your son going, your son dying 15 years ago.
He was an infant when he died?
Yeah.
Was it due to medical reasons?
They ruled it a SIDS.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Well, let me ask you something for starters, because, we're on a radio show, so this is a very complex situation, and we have to approach it in such a way that any given psychic can receive a lot of images. But the question are they the correct images? Because when you're approaching a topic like this, a psychic can it's kind of like trying to make out a sound in a busy cityscape, and you're hearing a bunch of voices and trying to signal out that one voice, like a duck on an island, when they're hearing all the other ducks squawking. But were there any cats in your history? Pets, cats?
Yes, I actually have 4 cats right now.
Okay, so that's our first, if we're talking along very truthful lines, that's our first indication that perhaps your mother's trying to come through, and a validation of this situation being real, and that your mother may in fact be embracing your son. Didn't you say your mother died 4 years ago?
Yes.
And you have 4 cats. So what's
yes.
happening in the brevity of the reading, Edward, what's happening is that if we're successfully correct, then your mother's giving a signal that she's there embracing your son. And what she throws out in terms of an image are these cats, which you validate. And there are 4, which further validates the number of years she's been gone. So if it's of any relief to you, then the answer would be, we have connected with your mother. If this is true, we have connected with your mother, and she is embracing your son, and they are on a plane of tranquility. In other words, in our human terminology, they're comfortable. They're okay. They're watching over you. There's also something to do, I'm not sure, about a model plane or building something or air flight. I'm not sure what that means yet.
Well, it's ironic. My father, they're divorced. They've been divorced since I was a young child. My father was in the Air Force, and I lived with my father, and we used to construct model planes.
If we're being very honest with one another, and at least being trying to be very authentic, the next comment is, we've totally connected to your mother. And you should feel comfort that your mother and your son are in a good state. They're okay. Now, is your father alive?
Yes.
Okay, so that reference was just another added support that your mother is speaking to you.
How did your mother die, Edward? What was her?
She She had congestive heart failure, kidney problems, diabetes.
Yeah.
Which?
Well, you see, Edward, in the brevity of a radio reading, trying to reach out and do so with good intention, it appears as though we've reached your mother. And
because throughout the summer, I mean, I live pretty meagerly, and throughout the summer, I've been working to, you know, get a grave marker constructed for my son. So, you know, I've come to, like, only owe a small portion of money left on it, and, you know, this is, and once it's paid, you know, it's going to be put on, you know, it's going to be ordered to be sent and put on his grave. So this kind of, like, is a hallmark of the reason why, you know, I've called, you know.
Well, Edward, you're doing the right thing, Edward. And your mother loves you. Your son loves you. In spirit, they are together. They're making a connection. This could even have the advantage of their meeting you in dreams, but they are around you. And assuming that we've been successful in this part of the reading, they can hear you. They are aware of you. You can talk to them in your private moments. And I guess we've had a successful reading as far as it went.
Yeah, hopefully you were able to get some comfort, Edward.
Oh, it definitely makes me feel a little better. I mean, because there's things that you were asking about that nobody would even known about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you connected with us, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. 949. Edward can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. 949, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi, I have a bit of a cold, so forgive me. My name's Dee Dee.
Okay.
My question is, I've been trying to apply for a job with the Humane Society, and I feel like my resume is being overlooked, and it appears that there's a few people that are less qualified that have gotten the job before me.
Well,
I just
want
to know if I'm wasting my
time. How many positions are available? I mean, you're saying other people have gotten the job before you, but it sounds like...
Well, I volunteer. I've been volunteering there for 6 months to get some experience behind my belt.
Oh, okay. And
this other volunteer who didn't have as much experience volunteering, and she hadn't volunteered as long, got the position. I wasn't applying.
What are you doing volunteering?
We work adoptions.
And so if you were to be in a position, what would your job consist of?
My job would be consisting of cleaning up after the animals, socializing the animals, walking them. And then once everything's cleaned up, we invite the public in to come and adopt. And
okay.
So aiding the public and trying to figure out personalities and if it's a good match and all that kind of thing.
Okay. What's your birth date, Dee Dee?
52765.
358. Well, one problem. I mean, everything on your numerical board is lower than your master number. So that might be a little bit of the problem why you're having difficulty in achieving this job position at the Humane Society and being overlooked. So go ahead, keep talking. If there's more you want to tell us, what are you asking?
My ultimate goal is I'm trying to change careers. I'm at an older time in my life. I just turned 54. I've been a hairdresser for 35 years, and my main passion is animals. And so I've been volunteering In fact, I start another job volunteering on Sunday for a senior animal sanctuary. And that's my passion, but I want to get paid for doing it because I need to make extra money. And I'm kind of tired of doing hair. So I don't know what to do.
But you're still doing hair. You're still doing hair to make money, correct?
Yeah, I had to get a job doing hair again because I need to be making money.
And is the comparable wages for the position that you're looking for at the Humane Society and what you're making doing hair, are they about even, or are you going to be taking a pay cut?
They're about even. Yeah, they're about even, except I do get paid tips doing hair, which some days are good, some days are not.
Okay, here's the thing. We're big animal lovers, and I'll be damned if you don't get a job at the... You seem to be a compassionate person. You want to work with adoptions. And as far as I'm concerned, you're going to get that job because I can't think of any reason why you wouldn't have it. If there's nepotism going on or somebody's ignorant or not connecting to you, what we're going to do, DD, on the show is Chris and I are going to put out energy that you get this job. I want you to be forceful. I want you to do whatever you can as a supplement to the energy we're going to put out that you're going to get this job, because I don't see any reason.
Are there more positions available?
Well, the position, yeah, another one just came up, and it's at the location that I want. And the gal that got the job before me that didn't have as much experience, she was supposed to tell me when a job would come up, but she didn't. I was notified by mail because I'm on a list.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Have you been jealous or doesn't want me to get it, or I don't know what's going on.
Well, forget about her. I mean, what you need to do is go to the superiors, people that are in charge of hiring there, the director of the facility. Have you done that?
Well, the one lady that does the hiring is aware that I am interested. I think it's age, because it seems like everybody there is younger. They're in like in their young 20s. But I can do the same thing they can do.
No, don't put that out. Let's not put that out.
Wow.
Okay. I want to ask you something real quick. In your whole lifetime, in your whole background, did you ever know anybody with a female with the letter G, like Gloria, Ginger, Jenny?
Yes, I know a man by the name of G.
Yeah, and who? What is he? This? What's his name? First name only.
Greg.
And who's this person to you?
He is my deceased son-in-law.
Oh. And what was the cause, nature of his?
He took his life.
Oh.
Suicide, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. This is going to sound strange, and we don't usually go this route, but I want you to get a glass of water. And I want you to put a lot of salt in it. And I want you to just put it on your windowsill or your sink or whatever. Okay?
Okay.
And we don't usually do this nonsense, because I think a lot of it is nonsense, but we're talking to you directly. And I'm determined to get you, we're determined to get you this job. So
okay.
Because I think, you know, I don't care how old you, so what, you're 54, big deal. You're just setting up adoptions. You probably have more maturity than the 20-year-olds. So,
yes.
And you talked about experience. I don't know what the deal is with your karma or what trouble you're having. I don't care really in this respect. The only thing I want to do is do a beeline to you getting the job. So Chris and I will deliberately work on this for you, because I think anyone who's out helping animals are on the top of the list. And so we're going to get this job for you. Another quick question. Have you ever been stung by a bee or any allergic reactions to a bee ever in your life?
Yes.
Oh, stung and allergic reactions, or just stung?
Yeah, I'm allergic to bee stings.
You're allergic. Yeah. So that's more.
So that's
even more.
We call those validations, okay? And the validation serves as a premise to whatever spirits are working with us on this radio show to assist the callers. So we're going to use that as a basis for a validation. Doesn't matter if it's a bee sting and you're allergic, it's still a validation. And what we're going to do is put out from that maybe the essence of honey. the essence that you're going to get this job. I want, but you need to be assertive and you need to get in there and talk to somebody.
Yeah, definitely talk
okay.
to somebody.
Okay, sounds good.
Then knowing you're interested is not enough. I would definitely maybe set up a meeting if possible with that person that is in charge of hiring or the director of the center. And
okay,
you know, be really assertive in your presentation to them.
Okay.
And don't forget to put salt in that glass of water.
How long she should
How long do I leave that out?
Yeah.
2 days. 2 days. No
okay.
more. You don't want flies laying. The salt will distract anything, but no more than 2 days.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, let us know what happens.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Okay, well, we're about out of time. So that's
I
it.
I just heard a whistle.
That was
that
the
Jimmy Cricket.
I think that was just the feedback from the phone. Her phone, Dee's phone. So we are back on air on Friday. We can continue our discussion on portals and take some calls then. Bye. You should say goodbye.